This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm on a little R&D, so normally our man Collar joins us on Fridays, but I'm out. So Matthew's here today. We'll look at the Viking season. Always a pleasure to chat with Mr. Collar. He's observing practice right now for the Vikings as they get ready for the Giants Sunday on the road. We just played the Mike Zimmerman comment. You obviously, like I and many, consume Mark Craig's story on Mr. Zimmer. You covered him on a regular basis. Mark Craig was on with Henry the other day filling in for me. I talked about it. Bitterness oozing out of every pore of Mike Zimmer. What was your major takeaway from that interview?
Well, you know, I texted Courtney Cronin, who asked that question about Mon the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, for many years of my life, I'll be saying to myself, don't you want to get a look at Mon? Yes. Like one of the it's just one of the quintessential Mike Zimmer. Like if you said, describe Mike Zimmer to somebody in 30 seconds, you're like, okay, listen to this clip and how he reacted to a third round quarterback rookie who did absolutely nothing wrong other than get drafted by his football team.
Yes.
And he just pounds the guy into the earth and then does it again in this article. For what reason? I have no idea. I mean, Kellen Mond was a good dude. I think everybody liked him. He just wasn't that great at ball, as many players who get drafted and show up are not. And I think that it's not just that Mike Zimmer is petty and bitter because, you know, he got fired and you don't have to love the way that it ended. I'm sure that he felt he was let down by the front office, and spoiler alert, he was. A lot of those draft picks went bad. A lot of the personnel decisions went bad from Rick Spielman. It's definitely one of the reasons that he ended up getting fired. But I also think that he just goes so far to the point of, I'm not watching any Vikings games. Bleep those. It's like, Mike,
I won't talk to them. They got me fired. You know?
What the heck? This is the organization that gave him his first and only ever head coaching job. They went to an NFC championship. They had so many great players while he was here. The Harrison Smiths, the Everson Griffiths, all that, who are deserving of a statement to the end of the team when you get fired. And I remember it happened to Jeff Fisher, got fired in the middle of the season. He came in, he gave a speech to the team, he thanked them, he said he gave everything he had. It's just like, it's so classless for Mike. You're like, come on, man. Sometimes, even when he was here, I'd want to shake him and be like, Mike, can you just take the high road one single time? Because I'll tell you,
never.
I thought he was a great football coach. I thought he was a great defensive mind.
So does he.
Hard-nosed. And I thought that he won a lot of games that were because of him, including the 2019 playoff game. But just let it go, man.
Yeah.
Move on. It's okay.
Not possible. Not possible whatsoever. Okay, every year, what do we get? Two or three teams in each conference. They didn't make the playoffs the year before, and they make it. Just to back up how uncertain the NFL is. So outside of a few teams in the league, we know the Chiefs are going to be very good. We think we know the Lions are going to be very good. And there's a half dozen other teams where we're fairly convinced they're going to make the playoffs. How convinced are you right now about this Vikings team and how this year is going to play out?
Not very. My confidence in the past when Kirk Cousins was here was extremely high that they were going somewhere between 7 and 10 wins, because that's who Kirk always was outside of one season. And I thought that I could very accurately tell you almost to the day when he was going to go on his October hot streak and, you know, when he was going to hit the December game where he's playing on grass and pull three times or whatever.
Right.
But with Sam Darnold, I truly have no idea what to think, because when you go through numbers, and I did a deep dive on this about what he was dealing with in the past, this guy has never even had a top 25 ranked offensive line by PFF. I mean, his supporting casts were so bad. And then what I saw in training camp is a guy who has a golden arm and I think can throw the ball to number 18. And so you start there, and then Brian Flores made a lot of chicken salad out of chicken bleep last year with the with the defense. And I wrote about this today. I think the defense is way deeper than it was last year with the addition of Stephon Gilmore. I mean, think about it. They were playing Juwan Williams at times last year. I don't even think the guy's in the league anymore. I mean, I don't think that he has to do as much in terms of blitzing all the time and everything else. So I think it's outside of Arnold, it's a better team overall than it was last year. But the schedule is hard and the quarterback is uncertain. So if you told me they won 6, I'd be like, okay. If you told me they won 10, I'd be like, oh, okay. Then some things went. But I think anything outside of that range would be real wild stuff has to happen.
For this Sunday's game, who will be receivers number 2 and number 3?
Well, I think Jordan Addison's going to play. Now, Kevin O'Connell, I always have to say that he trends toward the positive side of just about everything, but especially, you know, when it comes to injuries, he's always saying, you know, I think the guy's on his way here, and then it might be 3-4 weeks later. That's not to say that he's lying to us. I think he just sort of wants it to be the best possible outcome, and there are setbacks and things like that. So with Addison, it sounds like he's got a good chance to play. Jalen Naylor is less clear, but he was out here warming up, which is a really good sign for Naylor. So he'd be wide receiver 3. But I also think that it's not a fantasy lineup. So wide receiver 3 could be a little bit of Trent Sherfield, a little bit. Wasn't there a song with that? Like a little bit of this and that and that. Like that's what it's
going
to be for everything. Yeah. A little bit of Addison in your life. A little bit of Sherfield run blocking. A little bit of Tristan going deep.
Late contender for Song of the Summer here.
I did not expect a deep Lou Bega reference.
Yes.
And not only that, you also have some fat people throw in there with Josh Oliver and Johnny Muntz and TJ Hand. Like, I think it's going to be the Justin Jefferson show and friends, put it that way.
Okay. We know Darisaw very, very good. O'Neal, I'm thinking, is going to have a bounce-back year. He still was good last year, but coming off that injury, how confident are we about the center and what we're doing with the two guards? Because that has obviously been a big issue. It wasn't seemingly as big an issue last year, but it's still, when I hear people say, well, they've got a very good offensive line, I'm like, yeah, I know that about the left tackle. I know I like the right tackle a lot, but those three guys in the middle, they're still valid questions.
Yeah, it's interesting about last year because there were several notable strip sacks that made us go, oh, offensive line. But Kirk Cousins actually was one of the least pressured quarterbacks when he was in there, the NFL.
Yep.
And PFF graded their overall blocking very high. But that was also with Dalton Risner, and we kind of just dismissed Dalton Risner at this point because he's not starting, he's on IR, and he never really competed for the job at left guard. But at the same time, Risner was a well-above-average pass blocker, gave up 0 sacks last year, and so he's going to be on IR. We don't know if there's any chance he'd play if it didn't go well for Blake Brandel, but they must think that Brandel is a better option than Risner, even though he was proven to be pretty solid at the position. It's hard for me to tell you, standing on the sideline in training camp practices, whether the guy could be okay or good or terrible. I think if they're terrible, actually, I could tell. But anything else is hard to figure. He's a big man who I think can be an improvement overall. The center, I mean, Bradbury's gotten better. It's not as much as it used to be, not anywhere close. This first game might be a nightmare, but past that, it's really the right guard to me is the liability. I mean, even when Ed Ingram was playing in the preseason, he was still a mess. I haven't seen any progress there. And if you have one weakness, I think you can work at it. If you have two on an offensive line, you're kind of screwed.
You got trouble.
But I think they have enough support. Other than that, the tight ends, the running backs now, we have a running back here with Aaron Jones who has a lot of block experience. I think it'll be fine. I don't think that it will greatly impact Sam Darnold in a negative way. But there's going to be times the right guard forgets how to deal with the stunt and it's a free rusher. But that's kind of life in the NFL. There's only a handful of guys who are really great at that position in the league anyway.
This is our guy, Matthew Collar. He's the czar of Purple Insider. It is worth your time if you care even a little bit about the Vikings. Stories that Matthew wrote today, interviews, profiles, mailbag, updates from the site of the game, just great stuff on a regular basis from Matthew. Okay, defensively, when we get to, let's say, late October, am I going to be more intrigued watching Grenard, or am I going to be more intrigued watching Turner?
Well, I mean, Grenard is a proven guy in the league who is very, very good. From a technical standpoint, I think that Grenard is a master of his craft. It was really fun to watch him from the sideline with all the different pass rush moves that he has. And knowing that he's had 12 sacks in a season before, you're like, okay, I'm not just imagining this, that he's throwing spin moves and cross chops and all sorts of stuff. Have Dave cut that for football talk there. But
that's good. Excellent.
You know, I think with Dallas Turner, he's going to mix in as a lot of third down rushing and a lot of these packages where they can put him in different spots because at the moment they have two guys who are really excellent at this in Grenard and Andrew Van Ginkel. So it gives them a little more flexibility, more depth. And then as the season goes along, people will get banged up. And I think what you're looking for is at first you might go, oh, Dallas Turner, you know, I saw out there here and there. And then by 8 weeks in, ideally, you're seeing him all the time. And he certainly has the physical tools. He certainly has the mental capacity for this because he was out there taking first-team reps all the time in camp, which Brian Flores does not care where you're drafted and wouldn't do that if he didn't want to. But I think it's just going to be a deeper mix where you might go, oh, Patrick Jones just sacked the quarterback. What was he doing in there? Or something like that, because that's who Brian Flores is. But I think expectations should be tempered just a little for Dallas Turner just because the guys in front of him are very much proven and also got big contracts too. So I think it's better for him as a rookie to not have all the pressure to just be the pass rush by himself.
60 seconds. Since the Olympic break, how many players in the WNBA have played better than Caitlin Clark?
Probably 10, maybe 10, 15. I mean, Asia Wilson's having maybe the greatest season of all time.
Right. It's absurd.
Lisa Collier's put her name. Yeah. I mean, Breanna Stewart, it's so funny about the coverage of this league. Breanna Stewart drops 32 in a night, can't get a single highlight on TV because it's all one other player, which is kind of obnoxious for me as a watcher of the entire league. But she's been very good. I think she'll win Rookie of the Year, kind of as expected, right? Like, that's hard to transition into the league, but once number one picks get it, they usually get it. They usually win Rookie of the Year, so It's been very exciting to see her come along.
Yeah, her improvement from her first couple of games has been dramatic. But, yeah, the league has been great this year, no doubt. And the Lynx are right in the middle of it. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Our guy, Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. Little preview with Jason. He's going to take you up the Twins. Twins in Tampa taking in the Rays. Pregame at 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.